Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 a.m. service on Sunday, July 4th, 2021.
The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to the nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. "I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think of more of me, and he sees in me and hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by surpassing greatness of the revelations a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of our Lord. God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, sometimes you just have to tell it the way it is. And that's what Jesus did. So, shouldn't the people of Nazareth be proud of Jesus? After all, Nazareth was a small, kind of nothing type of town. Certainly, it was nothing like Jerusalem, the city of David. And now, here we have a hometown boy who was made good. Luke writes, the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and throughout the surrounding countryside. And so we hear that Jesus had become quite a celebrity. He went about healing people and doing a variety of good things. He taught a message of salvation by grace. People couldn't get enough of it, and crowds followed Jesus wherever he went. So you would certainly think that when Jesus returned to his own hometown, they would give him a first-class welcome, that they would roll out the red carpet, hold a banquet in his honor, and hand him the key to the city. Maybe even a sign at the town's entrance declaring Nazareth, home of Jesus. That wouldn't be a bad idea either, would it? Those town people knew Jesus from the days of his boyhood. Jesus was obedient to mom and dad, so he was undoubtedly known around town as a good kid. So, why would they treat Jesus with such contempt? Why were they offended by his teaching? Jesus was simply telling it the way it is. But as we all know, being honest comes at a price. Not for Jesus in this case, but for the Nazarenes. Following that rather cold reception, Jesus packed up his ministry, and he moved down the road to the town of Capernaum. So we might say, Nazareth's loss, right? But even so, that does not answer the question. Exactly what did those people have against Jesus? Let's begin with the Old Testament. Listen to the words from the book of Ezekiel. When called to be God's prophet, God warned Ezekiel, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Their descendants are also impudent and stubborn." So from what we hear, the people of Israel had come to view themselves as a nation of entitlement. They had become arrogant and prideful. That they refused to listen to their own hometown son proved it as well. What did the town people know of Jesus? Is not this the carpenter? Is not this the son of Mary? Is not this the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Well, their knowledge of Jesus was correct, but it was sadly incomplete. And so when Jesus came to tell them the truth about himself and the kingdom of God, the Nazarenes refused to listen. And you know, Jesus had just recently raised a dead girl to life in nearby Capernaum. And in nearby Cana, Jesus turned water into wine. So, how could they not have heard of Jesus' miracles? They had. They did. And yet, when he was in Nazareth, he was rejected. And so much so that Jesus even marveled at their unbelief. The very people who knew him from their childhood and their childhood did not want to hear what Jesus had to say. They showed no interest in his teachings. You may just wonder how that could be possible. Or do you? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how interested are you? Do you think that you know all there is to know about Jesus? Did you get your fill in Sunday school and confirmation class years ago? Do you believe that this holy book has nothing more to teach you? Who is eager to invest some of their time in learning more about Jesus? Why is less than 10% of our congregation involved in a Bible study here at church? I don't know. But I suppose this fact just validates what so many people have expressed to me about recent events in our own world. The majority is not always right. In the Great Commission, Jesus commands that his church be taught to observe all that he has commanded. Jesus knew that his disciples would be hungry for his gifts. They would want to know more and more about their Savior. In the Great Commission, Jesus instructed his church to be ready to feed these disciples and to feed them for their entire lives. I recently came across a quote from C.F.W. Walther. If that name is unfamiliar to you, C.F.W. Walther was the first president of our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Listen to what he had to say about people like the Nazarenes in today's gospel text. Walther writes, "A person may pretend to be a Christian, though in reality he is not. As long as he is in this condition, he is quite content with his knowledge of the mere outlines of Christian doctrine. Everything beyond that, he says, is for pastors and theologians. To understand as clearly as possible everything that God has revealed, all of that is irrelevant to non-Christians." Walther's words would accurately describe those Nazarene in today's gospel text. And today's gospel text raised some very hard questions for each and every one of us. How often have you foregone the opportunity to learn more about Jesus? Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. Peter would urge Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I may ask you, are you growing? The Apostle Paul writes that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe that? If the power of God comes from the Word of God, what do you wait for? Do you really think that you know all that you need to know? Did God really limit the study of His Word to pastors and church workers? Or could it be that you find reading this to be boring? And I must ask, are you offended by your pastors going on and on and on, week after week after week, about this? I am very thankful that you are here today. Just as the people of Nazareth were in the synagogue on that day when Jesus came to teach them. But as we recall, they, of course, did not listen to Jesus. My dear friends, today you must. You see, time and history may separate us from those people in Nazareth who took offense at Jesus. But Jesus' message remains the same. People are the same. And Jesus' message still gives offense to many people. And how very sad it is when someone takes offense at the Word of God. How sad it is when a pastor is questioned, challenged, or even rejected for having preached it faithfully as God has commanded him. Now, fellow Christians, some of you may ask, how can that be? The answer is quite simple. People do not always like what God has to say. His word of truth does not often always agree with our word of truth. And this leads to conflict and opposition. And even among church-going Christians who ought to know better. No. There's that word again. What do you know? You know that God has redeemed us by the shed blood of His Son. This you know without a doubt. And for this we ought to be grateful and give Him our undivided time and attention for as long as we remain in this sinful world. From the time of our birth until we are led to our grave. This world where controversy and opposition will continue to be part of the Christian life until Christ Himself comes and puts an end to all opposition. Be grateful to know that in spite of this world's opposition, Jesus continues to come to us in word and sacrament. He continues to send His disciples out to prepare the way for His ministry, even though He knows they will experience opposition and rejection, and even among some of those whom they serve. And nevertheless, the Lord does not withhold His gifts, for even when we are unfaithful, He remains faithful to Himself and to us. So yes, my friends, for this reason today, be grateful. Be grateful that when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die for nice people. He died for me. He died for you. And we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He died for those who rejected him in Nazareth. And he dies for those who still reject him today. And he still offers his gifts to us all, even to those who reject him time and time again. Why? Jesus loves you, and he wants you to know him personally and intimately. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Jesus wants you to know that he is your best friend who loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. He wants you to learn about the Savior who delights in giving you the things that are best for you. He wants you to learn about Jesus who rose from the dead in order to give you the promise of eternal life. And now, if I may, let me tell it like it is. Jesus faced opposition in his own hometown because the people rejected the Word of God. May that never be said of us. May you never grow weary of Jesus. May you welcome him here on Sunday mornings in our church, in your homes and in your hearts. May we be as one as making a place for him in our daily lives, gathering around his word here in our church and in our fellowship hall, in our homes, in our lives, taking up his word, reading, marking, learning, and taking it to heart, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, cherishing what he shares with us, and ever hungering for more. Every day, until that day comes when we see him coming on the clouds of heaven, may we be among those who faithfully and continually declare, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." May God grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.